having better conversations one with another is certainly a part of a training school program. Practicing discussing things one with another so that we'll not run out of thoughts and run out of materials, but always being suggesting something of interest, something that will be discussed among those individuals that are speaking one with another. Back in February 2003, I worked with a little booklet called Better Conversations, a handbook of biblical techniques for better conversations. Those better conversations would involve profiting and enjoying a discussion with someone, talking with someone, rather than occupying all the time, occupying all the conversation with the individual, but rather having that individual to be questioned and thought and guide that individual. Talking versus conversation is found in the pages of the scripture. Speaking words is hardly conversation. Although conversations are often presented by words, the words which are spoken without thought given to their intended meaning is just talk. A conversation seeks to communicate ideas. The captured maiden, back in 2 Kings chapter 5, who served in Naaman's court or household, communicated to Naaman's wife of her desire for him to come to know the prophet of the Lord. Plans were made for Naaman to visit and he be helped. He understood the maiden's words, but did not know the ideas he imagined in his heart as now he went to make the visit and have a recovery from his illness of leprosy. In the Bible, the Syrian captain, Naaman, was carrying the dreaded disease of leprosy and was hardly in the mood to hear the full meaning of the servant Elisha in 2 Kings 5. You will recall that Naaman left in a rage because of the words that he heard. Why? The words that he heard spoken to him did not agree with his preconceived idea and just how the prophet of the Lord would help him. He reasoned that the waters of his home region were superior to the muddy Jordan River, and if water would cleanse him, surely the cleaner water would do the trick. He would not allow himself to hear the conversation of the servant. Therefore, we understand that on the part of the speaker and the part of the listener, we can misinterpret the words spoken just to be idle talk or meaningless conversation. Of course, at the end of the story, the maiden insisted on Naaman that he follow the simple instructions rather than his own thinking. She reasoned with him in meaningful conversation of the futility of his actual rejection of this man's statement, go and dip seven times in the Jordan River. What are you going to lose, in essence, was her conversation with him. He understood that idea, and so he went. When he went and dipped seven times in the Jordan River, as the prophet had said, his flesh was renewed as a child. He had leprosy to be conquered by him. Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, there were many lepers in the land during those days of Elisha and Naaman, but only Naaman was cleansed. What did Naaman do? He accepted the conversation of the little maiden. He went and he dipped seven times. He was mended from his leprosy. When does your talk become meaningful conversation? Do you get the attention of others before speaking to them? Or do you just start in talking and visiting with them and that's no more to it? Do you choose thoughtful words when talking with them so that they get the idea that a meaningful conversation is occurring? Sometimes the words are chosen which more or less are just words of nagging, and that results in the person stiffening his neck and resisting the words being said, according to Proverbs 29 verse 1. Such nagging is a waste of time, and more than this, it's a waste of the future, because very likely that individual who's resorted to nagging is going to be rejected any time that person comes around once again. So Naaman's maiden did not nag him. She reasoned with him, and as a result, he understood the conversation. He went and was cleansed. Better ways of conversation are those that we expect in regard to our analyzing what we're saying and how we're saying it. By recording ourselves, perhaps we'll reason what we're saying and how we're saying it. There is a passage in Colossians that speaks about our speech being seasoned with salt, Colossians 4, verse 6, that we may know how to answer every man. So in seasoning our speech with salt, preserving it, having it to be spiced up so that we'll know what we're saying, it's evident when present, and it's evident when it's absent, when we have salt in our foods. And so it is with the words that we may choose as we discuss with others. Time should be taken from our choice of words. For example, when someone suddenly appears before us in a retail store, it would be good to have thought ahead of time rather than say something outlandish to the person. Instead of, "Oh, you're sneaking up on me," giving the impression that you were being followed, you might respond, "Oh, how pleasant to see you again," and turn that idea around to a happy day and a happy time. The words being fitly spoken, Proverbs 25, verse 11, are words that will have a better conversation and a better way of doing things. If we'll practice that with others and ask others, "How do I sound when I say this to you or that to you?" They may tell you some things that will hurt your feelings, but nevertheless help you as you are a person who chooses a fit word to be spoken. Listening to a conversation that takes place with you. Listening as you would like for someone to listen to you. Hearing another person through is not always easily done. The mind is working faster than the person explaining a situation. Thus we supply words to them to quicken the pace and give the idea rather than listen to them and see where they're going with the message. It may be to where we thought they were going, but you don't have to say that. You can show an interest in what they're trying to explain and what they're trying to detail. Proverbs 19 and verse 6 tells us regarding gifts that are given and how that they can be a good thing or a bad thing. In that passage, a bad thing because they are trying to bribe someone, take advantage of someone. Let's use words rather that are gifts in regard to influencing for good and for godliness. It is the words of a woman in Proverbs chapter 7 to a young man who is void, that is empty of wisdom and understanding, who says to him, "I have a strong man at my house, and I have him gone on a journey. And come and let's take our field of love," when actually it is lust. This young man did not understand the meaning, and it is said with her words, she forced him. Conversation could be a forcing situation to doing wrong, and in this instance it was. It is the case that many strong men have been slain at her house. Proverbs 7 and verse 21, she forced him. Let me note to you, having a conversation with someone means that we are people who care about this thing called goodwill. Having a conversation filled with things of encouragement and things of ideals. This particular story is told by the late Brother J.A. Thornton. Brother J.A. Thornton, when he began preaching, he said, and he was well in advanced in years, or over 60 years of age when he said this illustration. And he said, "I did preach a sermon when I was a younger man." And he said, if you call it a sermon, it was terrible. I didn't have the front at the top. I didn't have it at the back. I didn't have it in the middle. I just was not understood at all. However, people came out the door praising me for being a young man, willing to stand up and speak and so forth. This one little lady came out. She reached up and pulled his head down to her, and she whispered in his ear, "Brother Gene, I got something good out of that sermon today." J.A. Thornton, Gene A. Thornton, said, "I don't know what today she got good out of that sermon. I never thought about anything good that came from that sermon. But she said, I know what she gave me that day as she left out. She gave me a word of encouragement. And that word of encouragement continued to help me every time I tried to preach. And he'd often say, I've been trying to preach 60 years, 65 years of time. I've been trying to do that because of the word of encouragement that was given to him. Think about it just a minute. When's the last time that you encouraged someone? Encouraged someone in their cooking a meal at the house. Encouraged someone as they visited with you. Encouraged the mailman as he brought your mail, or mailwoman there as she brought your mail to the box. Encouraging someone in a Bible class. Encouraging a young person who tried to do and did well as he could do at that time. Think about that word encouragement and how much that would make a conversation that much better. Bill Flatt, who was a doctor of education, cited this in his book on personal counseling in 1991. He says, early in his ministry, Jesus chose the words of Isaiah to describe what the Spirit of the Lord had called him to do. Preach good news to the poor, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim freedom for the liberties, for the captives, and release for the prisoners. Notice that in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, how many of these things bring better conversations. Preach good news to the poor. Bind up the brokenhearted. Proclaim freedom for the captives. Release for the prisoners. Disciples of Jesus today must follow their example and follow that way of conversation. Holding our tongue in a time of conversation is an important matter. For if we find ourselves desiring to get as vile and as wicked as those who may approach us and outdo them on their works, speaking of them in such a demeaning way, we'll hardly have a meaningful conversation. The tongue is said to be a world of endangerment in James chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. It is noted in this passage that the tongue is an evil world in and of itself. It cannot be ruled and tamed by most men. But if we find ourselves taming that tongue, we find ourselves being really rewarded and greatly blessed. Let's think about the way that we hold our tongue in a time of a conversation. A lying tongue brings about many heartaches, Proverbs 26, verse 28. And furthermore, a meek person who has that meekness to speak and to serve at the same time, what a blessing it is to see somebody live out a way of life. 1 Peter 3 at verse 15, how would it be people who do that before God and our fellow man? Hold your conversation in that time past. As we think about this particular topic, we're talking about something that will help us in personal work. It'll help us in teaching a Bible class. It'll help us in preaching the gospel. It'll help us in every way of getting the support that we need for doing the work that we're doing in a school like this, in the which you have a school that comes in on top of the other schools of Bible study. It's a training school for better service is what you're doing. And you're having an opportunity to grow in all of these areas for good and do much good for the salvation of other souls. What a blessing it is to have a better technique of conversation.